Good morning. We invite you to listen to the Harvest Morning Service from Wallington and St Andrew's Cheam United Reformed Churches for Sunday the 18th of October. Our service today is led by our minister, the Reverend Craig Bowman.
Whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome to our harvest worship. The land has yielded its harvest. God, our God, has blessed us. The earth is filled with the gifts of the Lord, wine and oil and bread, to strengthen and cheer our hearts. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Our opening harvest hymn, Come Ye Thankful People Come, raise the song of harvest home. Let us pray. We thank you, God our Father, for the splendour and beauty of creation, for the ordered succession of the seasons, for the love that made the world. We thank you, God, for the good and fertile earth, for the fruits of the earth in their season, for the life that sustains our life, for the food that we daily enjoy. We thank you, God, for those whose labour supplies our physical needs, for those who harvest crops, those who transport them, those who process them, those who sell them. We thank you, God, for the greatest gift, for Jesus, our Saviour and Lord, for his living and dying and rising, for redeeming the world by his love. We thank you, God, for his Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, for the church which is God's new creation, for the privilege which is ours of being part of it. Father, we thank you for your mighty acts in creation and redemption of the world, and we offer our worship to you in gratitude, joyfully and faithfully, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal God, you have entrusted to us the work of your creation, this world and all that is in it, and we have misused and abused the resources of your creation. We have failed to act as good stewards, and have thought only of our comfort and of immediate gratification. Father God, forgive us and help us to be responsible partners with you in the nurture of your world. Lord Jesus Christ, you have commanded us to love as you loved, and we have failed to love our neighbour as ourselves. Our brothers and sisters remain hungry and homeless. Many are dying of diseases which we can cure and in wars which need not happen. Loving God, forgive us and help us to show your love through all that we do and say. Holy Spirit, you have united the world by your presence, and we have failed to see the world as your domain. We have been caught up in our own affairs and our own interests, and failed to see that we are all your children, and we cannot live without one another. Spirit of peace, renew the whole creation, and unite us as one body committed to serving Christ. Eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, hear our prayer and strengthen our commitment. Amen. And we join together in the Lord's Prayer in its traditional form. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
I wonder if at some point over the last couple of weeks you've given something to somebody in need as part of the Harvest Festival preparations. Perhaps you've rummaged through your cupboards to find cans of soup or tins of baked beans to donate to people who don't have as much as you do. We followed this custom for many years, celebrating harvest by giving food to people in need. But why do we do this? Well, the Harvest Festival began as a way of everyone celebrating and giving thanks for the food that our land has provided. In this country, it's easy to forget sometimes that our food comes from the land. A lot of the food we buy from supermarkets is pre-prepared and processed. Things like pizza, sausage rolls, soup, and ready meals. These things don't grow from the earth as they are, but many of the ingredients within them do. Things like fruit, vegetables, and wheat. Much of the food we eat, certainly the food that nourishes us the most, was at some stage growing from the ground or from a tree, and it started from just a single seed, a seed that someone took the time to plant in the soil. That seed then depended on the right conditions in order to grow, the right amount of sunshine and rain, and a good deal of tending and caring from the farmer. A lot of work goes into every bite of what we eat, from the land and from other people. So what are some of the things we should be thinking about at harvest time? Perhaps you'd like to play a quick word game that we can use to help us remember what's important at this time of year. If you're listening at home, you might like to take a piece of paper and in large letters write down the word harvest, H-A-R-V-E-S-T. Now using those letters, see how many smaller words you can make. For example, the words rest and rat are both hiding in there. You might like to pause the recording and see how many words you can find. Four of the words hidden in the word harvest are actually very appropriate to what we are celebrating today. I wonder if you found them all. The first word is have, H-A-V-E. Harvest is an opportunity to thank God for the many things that we have, the things we often take for granted. When we go to the supermarket, the shelves are full of lovely food to buy. When we turn on the tap, there's plenty of water to drink. So we must remember to be thankful for what we have been blessed with. The second word is eat, E-A-T. Harvest isn't just an opportunity to thank God that the supermarket shelves are full. It's a chance to thank him that our tummies are full too. Most of us can wake up in the morning feeling confident that we'll get the sustenance we need from our meals and even from snacks in between. Not everyone is so lucky. The third word is a longer one, starve, S-T-A-R-V-E. As we think of all the lovely things we have to eat, it should also make us think about those who don't have as much as we do. Across the world, 1 in every 10 people, that's 700 million, are living in extreme poverty. That could be because they don't have enough money to buy the food that they need, or because their land hasn't provided enough for them that year. Harvest is a time to remember and pray for those who are not as fortunate as us. Then the fourth word, and the most important of all, is share, S-H-A-R-E. Harvest is a time to help those with less food, money, and resources than we have. The Bible tells us many times that we should share what we have, love our neighbour, and avoid being greedy. God tells us that we are to do good to all people, and it pleases him when we look out for others in need. There are lots of different opportunities to do this, by sharing food and drink, being generous with our time, or saying a few kind words to someone who we know is sad or lonely. Let's bow our heads for a short prayer. Dear God, thank you for all that we have and for all the food we will eat today. Bring your peace and comfort to those who are starving and in need, and help us to see how we can share what we have with others. Amen.
And now let us bless the gifts that have been given in thanksgiving for the generosity and grace of God and his world. Let us pray. Creator God, for daily bread and all who work to bring your harvest home, we bring our thanks today. Forgive our ingratitude, we who have so much, yet waste what you have given. For those whose harvest is poor, whose crops have withered, water tainted, children starve, help those who bring relief and bestow on us an unaccustomed generosity that all might share from your garden and all might sing your praise. Creator God, provider of all, we bring our thanks today. And we bring our gifts, that in their giving, receiving, and use, the wonder of your world will be made known, and your love made real in the lives of others. May the beauty of this world, and the love that created it, be expressed through our lives and be a blessing to others, now and always. Amen. Our next hymn, God Whose Farm Is All Creation.
God Whose Farm Is All Creation, take the grasses you would renew, take the fires of the harvest. Take up plowing, seeding, reaping.
A reading from Psalm 104, reading verses 1 to 5, in praise of the Creator. Praise the Lord, my soul. O Lord, my God, how great you are. You are clothed with majesty and glory. You cover yourself with light. You have spread out the heavens like a tent and built your home on the waters above. You use the clouds as your chariot and ride on the wings of the wind. You use the winds as your messengers and flashes of lightning as your servants. You have set the earth firmly on its foundations, and it will never be moved. Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word.
The reading comes from the 8th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, verses 7 to 18. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce, and you will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron, and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land, with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, "My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me." But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors, as it is today.
Today, of all days, we are reminded that God provides. Our harvest festival is an overwhelming reminder that God is a creator God. God whose wonder and power is seen in the creation of this world. Through what he has created, God provides for us and our needs. When we consider the displays that normally adorn our churches, it is difficult to say that we have nothing to give thanks to God for. However, the prevailing narrative in our world is that we don't have enough. Our income is too low. Our taxes are too high. The demands are unreasonable. What we receive is insufficient. In these COVID times, there are many for whom that is too true. But it is not true for all of us. And in normal times, it is not true for more of us. Today, we celebrate the goodness of our God in providing to us the bounty of earth, sea, and sky. The goodness of God who grants to us both seed time and harvest. The goodness of God who shares with us the love that is in his heart and calls us to likewise share. Some facts that were shared with me that I want to share with you. It concerns a variety of the blessings we have received, and it goes like this. If you own just one Bible, you are abundantly blessed. One third of the world does not have access to even one. If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than the million who will not survive the week. If you have never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture or the pangs of starvation, you are ahead of 500 million people around the world. If you attend a church meeting without fear of harassment, arrest, torture or death, you are more blessed than almost 3 billion people in the world. If you have food in your fridge, clothes on your back, a roof over your head and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of this world. If you have money in the bank, in your wallet and spare change in a dish someplace, you are among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. If your parents are still married and alive, you are very rare. If you hold up your head with a smile on your face and are truly thankful, you are blessed because the majority can, but most do not. If you can hold someone's hand, hug them or even touch them on the shoulder, you are blessed because you can offer God's healing touch. If you prayed yesterday and today, you are in the minority because you believe in God's willingness to hear and answer prayer. There is so much, indeed, to give thanks for. Not only health and happiness, shelter and food, or gifts and skills, but life itself. The gift that only God can give, however much humans may try to emulate him. But above all, our thanks are for what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, the gift of his Son, a gift without compare, the gift of life for us, a life which death cannot touch, a priceless and precious gift, an undeserved, eternal, gracious gift for which we should be eternally grateful. The whole Christian year is a reminder of what has been done for us and given to us, and an opportunity to respond. From the more obvious festivals of Easter, Pentecost, Christmas and Harvest, where God's gift to us is presented plainly and clearly, to those less explicit celebrations of Mothering Sunday and even a Nativity service. These are times when we are presented with an aspect of God's love and care, and the care of his people and of the church. In fact, when we look at it, there is nothing that we do in church that does not remind us of God's love, for all that we do has at its heart the celebration of his saving grace. And when challenged by his love for us, there is always a response to be made. When aware of his love and all that we've given, our response can only truly be one of thanksgiving. And with our thanksgiving goes confession for our errors and blindness. With our thanksgiving goes the acknowledgement of dependence upon his love and strength. With our thanksgiving goes a commitment to his ways and his service. And with our thanksgiving goes an offering of our gifts, our time, our talents, in pure thanksgiving and love for all that has been done for us. Let me tell you a story. Once upon a time, a stranger rode his tired horse down a back country road on his way home from a long journey. It was late afternoon and the man was tired and hungry. Ahead he saw a small village. "I'll get something to eat there and find a place for the night," he thought. Suddenly the horse tripped, throwing the stranger to the ground. As he brushed himself off, he saw that the horse had stumbled over a stone sticking out of the ground in the middle of the road. He walked over to it and dug it out of the earth so that it would not trip anyone else. It was a splendid stone, almost perfectly round and smooth. The stranger liked the stone, so rather than throw it away, he put it in his saddlebag, climbed up on his horse, and continued into the village. As he rode past the first houses, the village people stopped to stare. He waved to several of them, but no one waved back. He got off his horse and approached a woman standing in front of a small house. "Good evening," he said cheerfully. "Could you spare a bit of food for a hungry man?" The woman began shaking her head almost before he had finished his sentence. "We have had a poor harvest here. We are very worried that there is barely enough food for our family. I'm sorry." And she walked into a house and shut the door. The man continued to the next house, where a farmer was working on his cart. "Do you have a place at your table for a hungry traveller?" he asked.
It didn't rain during the last month before harvest, the farmer said. What little we have is needed for our children. At every home the stranger heard the same sad story. The harvest had been poor. There was not enough food to make it through the winter. Everyone was very worried about themselves and their immediate family. Completely discouraged and very hungry, the man sat down under a tree in the village square. Poor people, he thought. In a few weeks they will be as hungry as I am. Suddenly an idea hit him. He reached into his saddlebag, took out the stone, and addressed the villagers. Gentle folk of the village, he shouted, your worries are over. I have in my hand a special stone that will help take you through the long winter. This is a magic stone. With it you can make stone soup. Stone soup? An old man repeated. I have never heard of stone soup. The wonder of stone soup, the stranger continued, is that it not only feeds hungry people, it also brings people together. Now, who has a large empty pot? Quickly a huge iron pot was found and delivered to the stranger in a wheelbarrow. This kettle is barely large enough, but it will do, the stranger said. Now we must fill the pot with water and start a fire. Eager hands carried buckets of water and firewood. Soon the pot was placed over a roaring fire. As the water began to boil, the stranger dramatically raised the magic stone above his head, and then he gently placed it in the kettle. Stone soup needs salt and pepper, the stranger announced. Two children ran to find salt and pepper. After the water had boiled for a few minutes, the stranger sipped the brew. This stone makes an excellent soup, but it would be better if we had a few carrots. Oh, we have a few carrots that we're willing to share, the farmer replied. Immediately his daughter ran home and returned with an apron full of carrots. It's too bad. The harvest was so bad, said the stranger. Stone soup is always much more tasty when we add a cabbage or two. I think I know where to find a cabbage, a young mother shouted as she dashed towards her home. When she returned, she was carrying three large cabbages. The stranger was busy slicing carrots and cabbages with his hunting knife. The last time I made stone soup was at the castle of a rich man. He added a few potatoes and a bit of beef. Several people talked quietly. A bit of beef, and we can eat like rich people, they whispered. They went home and soon returned, not only with beef and potatoes, but some brought milk, onions and barley too. By the time the soup was ready, it was almost dark. It was the most delicious soup they had ever smelled, and to think it all came from the magic stone. The stranger finally declared that it was done, and invited everyone to have as much as they could eat. After everyone had eaten their full, some folk brought out their fiddles. Everyone began to sing and dance, and they continued to the small hours of the morning. Never had the village people had such a wonderful party. The next morning the whole village gathered to say goodbye to the stranger. As he mounted his horse, a small child called out, "You forgot to take your magic stone." The stranger smiled. "I'm going to leave the stone with you as a gift of gratitude for your hospitality. Remember, as long as you make stone soup, you will never have to worry about being hungry." As he rode off, her grandfather put his arm around the shoulders of his young granddaughter and said, "Do you remember the other bit of magic that the stranger promised when you make stone soup?" he asked. "Yes," she said. "The stone brings people closer together." The story of stone soup is a story about sharing and caring when blessings seem scarce. The stone brings people closer together and feeds those who are hungry. It reminds us that everyone, no matter how poor they may seem, has some gift or contribution they can make for the benefit of all. A gift for which we should give thanks. A gift which we, who may be rich as the world counts rich, should not belittle or ignore, no matter how small that gift may seem to some. We are blessed. Some have more, some less. But each one of us has something we can share, some way in which we can offer God's healing touch, some way in which we can come together and add to the pot that feeds all who hunger for food and drink and for warmth and love. This Harvest Sunday, like so many in the past, despite the times in which we live, we here are sharing. We offer our gifts for God's work in our church and beyond. And we bring a special harvest offering to be shared in the community, particularly through the Sutton Women's Refuge. We have our own version of stone soup happening, without the pot or the stone, and that is good. But Thanksgiving is not simply about sharing, whether it be from our abundance or from our relative poverty. Rather, Thanksgiving, with its two components, the giving of thanks and the sharing or giving of a portion of the blessing we have, be those blessings little or be they great. It is about trust and about faith, the trust that God will provide all we need day by day, and the faith to live as God has directed us to live, no matter what our circumstances may be. Thanks be to God. Our next hymn. For the fruits of all creation, thanks be to God.
Loving Heavenly Father, as we give thanks on this Harvest Sunday for all that we have day by day, we want to pray for those who work so that we may eat, the farmers, fishermen, some of whom struggle to keep going, the market gardeners and those who look after our water supply, people we so easily take for granted. We pray too for wisdom for those who prepare food, for people too ill or infirm to do it for themselves, and for those who distribute it day by day, and for those responding to the needs of homeless people. Our thoughts and prayers move on to people all over the world who don't have enough food or even clean water. And we think of missions like Christian Aid, praying for ones which are close to our hearts, that you will guide people of integrity to be the leaders of these organisations. As we reflect on the coronavirus situation, we pray for the scientists and all involved in trying to find a vaccine to bring a halt to its continual spread. For leaders all over the world, for wisdom to respond, meanwhile, to the present situation. We think of the educational problems for thousands of students, especially those we know, and pray for guidance for them as they respond to the disciplines they face living away from home. We thank you for all the teachers who have gone back to their jobs, knowing the risks, and pray for wisdom for heads of schools, institutions and universities. We thank you for our church here in Cheam and Wallington, and pray for our minister to know how to help us grow in our faith, that your word may be central to our lives as we seek to know it better. Lord, in a moment of quiet, we bring to you any matter which may be troubling us, or for which we need your clear guidance, remembering to be thankful above all for our freedom to worship you Sunday by Sunday. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.
Our final hymn. We plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. Bless to us, O God, the sun that shines above us, the rain that falls upon us, the earth that sustains us, the air that surrounds us, the love that binds us. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon us and all whom we love, this day and always. Amen.
Of old England, and hey for the honour of old England.